This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two of The Suspects starts right now. It's Barry and myself, and Dell's still hanging in there because Aaron Raybould is MIA. So when he gets in, we will...
I'm right here.
Well, I asked going into the break, and I said hello to you, and Dell goes, not yet.
I had to run downstairs, grab my hoodie.
You had to poop?
No.
Your hoodie? No. Is it chilly in the office today?
It does when Michael turns on the AC because he gets warm in his cage.
Okay. All right. Well, that's another reason why we're having
And now you know today. The rest of the story.
Sure. Did you see this Adam Schefter story that if the season in the NFL is played without fans, it could cost the league over $3 billion? That's with a
Oof.
B, billion. And each team would be set up to lose $100 million or more?
Oof.
Man, when we talked about all these different things over the past 6 months to a year about how I hate to break it to you, but it's all about being a business and winning and going places in the playoffs is just an added bonus, but all owners really care about is money. Man, I mean, that'll put it in perspective for you real quick if all of a sudden each team's going to lose $100 million.
God. Less. That's a lot of money for the league and, you know, like individually. I mean, per team, per and per league, right? Or for the league, I should say, not per league, but that's whoo.
Well, and then, the league would have to step in because based on revenues with the league, that's how the salary cap varies and is adjusted from year to year. If the league loses that much money, then the cap conceivably would have to go down a ton. And then you've got all these guys under contract with massive amount of money due to them. You had to believe that the league would have to say, look, due to the pandemic, we understand it was a one-year thing, so we're going to keep the cap at a certain rate. Because otherwise, all hell could break loose with chaos if that goes through and the cap goes way down.
Oh, yeah, that too, right? Because then you're like, well, you're going to have to – are you renegotiating or cutting and then adding a bunch of minimums and the players aren't going to be digging that? That's not going to fly well with any of these player organizations. It's going to be a mess, dude, if that happens. That's
just a lot of freaking money, man.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to teams that – like we heard years ago that the Raiders were having trouble paying people because they didn't actually have the cash in the bank account. I mean, do you think those teams would end up folding if they didn't have that cash there?
I don't think the NFL is going to let a team fold necessarily.
That's exactly what I think. I'm right with you, Barry. I don't think the league will let that happen.
Unless it was like the Marlins. Like if MLB lost the Marlins, I don't think they're sad about that because that market is so depressed as far as baseball goes. Now, obviously, teams like the Raiders are an NFL staple, so I don't think that they let the Raiders not be around anymore. But, you know, maybe there are a few teams, but I doubt it. I think the NFL loves where they're at. All the NFL cities support them, so they want to continue to allow them to play. So I could see other – I mean, you're talking about 32 billionaires, basically. They'll bail each other out to keep the league going because they all make money off of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've seen a million different ways where scenarios play out where if a franchise is in dire straits, either in the case of the NBA, the league will come in, run the franchise till they find a suitable owner and make sure that the sale goes through to someone that they want to see own the club, or they'll come with short-term financial relief so that there isn't a long-term problem with a franchise that's struggling. So I think one way or another, and the league, look, has been too financially viable for too many years to allow 1 year like this, especially when it's not because it's like, you know, when Hilton came in and bought the Comets and ran it into the ground and, you know, everybody had to bring, they brought in people from the league and all over to try and keep that thing afloat. It's a whole lot different when you're talking about an NFL franchise. Up until this year, every franchise was doing just fine. So they're not doing anything, you know, drastically wrong and setting themselves up for this. It's just something that no one could have foreseen happening, and I'm sure they'll cover for them.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, there's, you know, some leagues talk about expansion, some leagues talk about contraction. Baseball's always on the fence either way. I think NBA and NFL are pretty healthy and would consider, I don't know, NBA might consider contraction at some point, but I think the NFL is always going to be looking to expand until it just becomes a product that nobody wants, but that doesn't seem possible. So, you know, it might be that maybe the NHL is one of those leagues that thinks, well, now would be a good time. If the Dallas Stars, you know, don't have the money, well, maybe we're better off without them. And that's just one, because I'm using that as an example because it's close. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that happens in the NFL, no way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
Even the Browns, they would still keep the Browns around, because you look at that stadium, it's packed. They still go and support the Browns. Of course they're going to keep them around. It's crazy.
Well, and on that note, people have been asking, too, in terms of how franchises are doing in the middle of the pandemic, and a lot of scrutiny and rumors have been flying around about the Rockets with Tillman Fertitta. And he said, to this point, he has not done anything to alter the employment of all the Rockets employees. He doesn't plan on doing that. He feels like they're going to be just fine. And he doesn't think that he's going to have any issues making it through this. So that's a good news if you're a Rockets fan, because the other thing that he said was he has no plans to sell the team. That's something that, you know, he doesn't see is ever going to happen. And in his mind, he said the Rockets would never be sold and they will never add minority owners, meaning smaller ownership, you know, chunks of the actual team itself. He's going to be the sole proprietor owner and he's never going to sell the team. That has to make people feel good too, because, I mean, you think about it, there's been a lot kicked around about him since this whole thing kind of took shape. And a lot of articles written where it looked like he was in dire straits in a lot of ways.
Right. Yeah. It makes you feel good from a financial viability standpoint.
Of reasons. Well, look at San Antonio. Peter Holt, the owner of the Spurs, just came out and said that he's looking for and is probably going to add on a few minority owners to give a certain amount of stake in the team to. And that immediately put up a red flag with a lot of Spurs fans that were like, whoa, wait a minute. Does this mean Seattle, Las Vegas? You know, are they going to move the team? And of course, if you were in the middle of the dynasty run of the Spurs with Tim Duncan and all that, you'd say this would never happen. But small market, bad season, probably going to, in the next year or two or in the near future, lose your Hall of Fame coach after you've already been through all of those players. And no one really is flocking to go to San Antonio. I could see the Spurs being a candidate to be moved. If I think Peter Holt's the cog that keeps them in San Antonio. Depending on how much he sells off, I could see this being an issue that could be getting more and more attention in the next couple of years, depending on how it plays out in San Antonio. And that's why Rockets fans probably get concerned, yeah.
Well, that surprises me just because of the tradition and the history there. I mean, this is a team and a franchise. There's no – I mean, the Spurs are one of the most winning organizations in the last, 30 years? Not forget basketball, just in general.
Oh, we've said the Patriots and the Spurs are the two dynasties that we've really experienced in our lifetime. Yeah. But when
you
think
about
it,
they
Barry,
would move?
Well, we've talked about it. You and I have talked about it on the show, because I've talked about it when we used to travel and go to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, with as small of a market as that is, you know, the biggest challenge that Sam Presti has with Clay Bennett as an owner, too, is the fact that when going is good and you got Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and you've got this, you know, huge roster of talent and you keep making long playoff runs, everybody jumps on board. Everybody wants to be a part of it. But the minute you start to fall off, that's the big challenge to see if you have longevity in a city. Because you know there are other major cities out there that want an NBA team. And when the going isn't so good, are they still going to have the sellout streak? Are they still going to have sponsors lined up knocking on their door to sponsor? And when you look around Oklahoma City, I think they have one major, it's an energy company. I think it's Chesapeake. They have Chesapeake Energy, who sponsors the arena. But other than that, I mean, the skyline looks like the middle finger, and you don't have a lot of major businesses when you start talking about, will they stay on board and endure a rebuild or losing seasons, as opposed to if you're in Houston and you have all these Fortune 500 companies and oil companies and all the different, you know, prosperous companies that come in a city that's the fourth largest in the country. or a lot of the bigger cities that are, Seattle wants another team. Obviously, Vegas would like to keep adding. You know, there's other franchise. Nashville wants, you know, to get into the NBA. So you have to ask yourself the viability long term if you start to decline. It's easy to say the Spurs are going to stay when they're a dynasty. But when you're rebuilding and you had to trade Kawhi Leonard for DeMar DeRozan, and DeRozan's looking for the first chance he can get out, and the other calling card to the whole franchise was Greg Popovich, and he's already hinted at the fact he's not long for coaching. I don't know, man. I really don't.
Well, when you put it like that, geez.
I mean, tell me in San Antonio, Barry, where are the big companies that are going to come forth and say, we're going to back this team, we're going to continue to back this team, and we're just going to continue to throw money at a Spurs team if they're not winning?
Well, I mean, San Antonio, population-wise, it's a fast-growing city, and it's big. I mean, I don't know where it ranks top, you know, I think it's top 10, one of the 10 largest cities in the country.
No way.
Yes.
No way. When you talk Dallas, Houston, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. There's five right off the top.
It's seven.
San Antonio is the seventh largest city in America?
Yes.
Come
city
on,
size,
man.
Rank, city population estimates 2015. Oh, so this is 5 years old. So it's probably even bigger now.
Boston, yep, Philly.
It's bigger than it's here's your top 10 in order from 1 to 10. New York, L.A., Chicago, Houston, Philly, Phoenix, San Antonio, San Diego, Dallas, San Jose.
How is Boston not in there?
Austin is 11. Boston is 23.
In San Antonio, you've got big companies like Valero and USAA that have billions of dollars.
H-E-B is there? Yeah.
So you guys think that San Antonio's good? You think that they have enough support that the Spurs are going to stay?
Oh yeah,
San Antonio passed Dallas in size. That's crazy.
Because I got a lot of friends that are Spurs fans last night that were a little bit up in arms, worried about if Peter Holt starts selling off portions of the team that they're going to end up moving pretty quick. Because from a TV perspective, you can say all you want about whatever, and I was not aware that San Antonio was seven. But I can tell you this in terms of TV markets and the national networks and where they want a city, what cities to have NBA games. I don't think San Antonio is one of the big cities that they look for big ratings from.
Well, no, this is population size, but that speaks to, that speaks to businesses and stuff, not necessarily TV market, not necessarily, you know, media market.
Right, I get
I don't
that,
think because Houston is the fourth largest city.
I didn't, but they're the sixth largest market. Seventh largest city.
Oh, yeah.
In the country.
Dude, Texas, the big four cities in Texas, when you talk about Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, and Austin, are legitimately big four. All of those cities are probably top 15 in the country. We have four of the 15 largest cities in the country. For example, Houston is four, San Antonio is seven, and this is I found on a wiki page. It's just list of United States cities by population on Wikipedia, 2018. So this is only 2 year old data, but it's New York, LA, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, and then Philly, San Antonio, San Diego, Dallas, San Jose. So San Antonio seven, Houston four, San Antonio seven, Dallas nine, Austin 11, Fort Worth 13, and don't sleep on El Paso. They're the 22nd largest city in the country. That's crazy,
man. I just now, we talked about San Diego, and obviously from a pure climate alone and natural beauty. That I get that. Dallas up there, San Jose because I guess it's on the cusp of San Francisco and everything else. But I just cannot believe San Antonio is seven.
Well, it's because Texas in general is growing so fast. Like they showed this rate of growth for the cities. Austin's growth from 2010 to 2018 was up 22%. San Antonio's was up 20-something percent or 18%. Like,
well, your point is valid, though. I look at the numbers. I got a 2019 list, and it's basically the same that you said. San Jose is 10, but you're right. Austin is 11. Fort Worth,
13.
Separate from Dallas, yeah, 13.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Texas is populated, bro. And then if you look at that wiki page as far as like change. Percentages of change and growth, The top five, three of them are Texas. Frisco, Sugarland, and McKinney have all grown by close to 50% from 2010 to 2018. Texas is booming, man. Yeah,
I stand corrected. I had no idea San Antonio was seven, but I did have, like I said, I had a lot of my Spurs friends that are Spurs fans really concerned, El Jefe being one of them, that was even DMing me last night going, dude, does this mean they're going to sell the team? I don't think so, because Peter Holt's loyal to San Antonio. But all it takes, look, that's why Seattle lost their team. Clay Bennett's an Oklahoma City guy, bought the team, said he was going to keep it in Seattle. Within 2 years, it was on its way. So that's where you really got to be concerned when you get majority ownership. That's when they can move. So, all right, lesson learned for me on biggest cities in America as we move on with hour number two of the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call us, text us, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN975.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra.
I used to have babies, but now I have kids. It's a totally different proposition. See, when you have a baby's like the cutest puppy of all time. They're like so amazing. You look at them, they look at you, he's smiling. Whoa! Amazing! And then one day they start watching the way you run, and they're like... And they start thinking about things that you tell them to do that they don't want to do. And when they get to be about three, that's when my daughter first spoke up. I go, come on, it's time to go to bed. She goes, why? I don't have a job. And we're just sitting there looking at each other. And I knew that this was a pivotal moment in being a parent. Because I had to figure out what kind of parent am I going to be. And I decided I'm not going to be the type of parent that just raises my voice. I'm going to treat my daughter like she's my equal. But the difference between us is that I just have more information. But I love her so much that I would only do things always that benefit her 100%. So I said, listen, you got to go to bed because your mom doesn't let me her unless you're asleep. Yeah. Yeah, and you want mommy and daddy to stay together, right? Yeah. But look, daddy's got a f***, okay? That's
it. Here's our comedian of the week on an F Yeah Friday, F for Funny, Joe Rogan. You know him. Barry gave you the backstory on why he picked him. A good choice for a good day in the city of Houston. As we'll have one more clip at 3:15. And, of course, if you missed the first clip, go back and check out what you missed. Go ESPN975.com. Click on the usual suspects tab at the top of the page. The menu will pop down. You can catch up on hour number one and get you all up to speed. You get a chance.
We were talking about San Antonio. Somebody said, why are we it was a text. Why are we sitting here talking about San Antonio when you have teams like Charlotte? SA ain't going anywhere. Well, I think the point you raised, regardless of size of city, because that's that, I don't think at the end of the day that's going to matter as much. There are big businesses there, but still the points that you raised are valid, but I think they might apply to Charlotte too. So
And you look at it, and I mentioned OKC.
But we talked about that's also maybe the difference between contraction and moving. I don't think they contract San Antonio.
No.
They might just move them, but they might contract Charlotte.
And you think about it. I mean, the other thing is that's why this is all centered for me and why the discussion happened about possibly getting out of San Antonio is because it's all centered on who owns the team. So Clay Bennett, as I mentioned, has, as long as his money doesn't run out, he's an Oklahoma City guy. So he's loyal to OKC, even though OKC's population is half of San Antonio. It's like 660-some thousand people. Mm-hmm. But yet you got an owner committed to being there. That's why I said Peter Holt committed to San Antonio. As long as he's still controlling ownership, you're going to be fine. Michael Jordan is a Carolina guy, and Michael Jordan has controlling ownership of Charlotte. It ain't going anywhere unless MJ decides someone else can take it, and then if they want to take it. But MJ ain't running out of money, and you know he's not getting away from basketball. It's been his life. But there are other guys, or if the team is sold, like I'll give you for example from my hometown in Milwaukee. The Brewers were sold when Bud Selig became commissioner. He had to sell the team, and the biggest concern was no one from Milwaukee's coming up with the kind of money it's going to take to buy this team. They lucked out that they got a guy from LA who was committed and actually made commitments to say that he is keeping the team in Milwaukee. And then with the new stadium and everything else, it's become a very financially viable franchise again. And with the winning, it doesn't hurt. But it worked out for Milwaukee. It doesn't always work out that way. And if an owner just decides, you know what, whether it's because I can make more money in another city or I'm from another city and I want to move it there, you can't control what the owner does unless the ownership and the league get involved and say no, and that's tough to do when the guy's got full pockets.
Yeah, it can definitely make things difficult. It's funny because you mentioned it and they were talking about it, and you talked about OKC is half the size of San Antonio.
Yeah.
And they got a basketball team, and it made me realize, pulling up that list again, it's weird when you read the top 10 cities: New York, LA, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, Philly, San Antonio, San Diego, Dallas, San Jose. Now, San Jose is that's like saying Dallas, Fort Worth, right? Like that's
right.
Literally right there near San Francisco and Oakland. Yep. It's all one big area, but it's literally like splitting Dallas and Fort Worth. San Antonio, and San Diego, two cities in the top 10, no NFL team. And San Diego had one and didn't really
support. San Diego blew it because, and again, that's a cheap owner that just decided Bud Adams part deux.
Yeah.
Part, because, you know, the Spanos family came in and said forever, we need a new stadium. And believe me, I've been to that stadium and it is a dump. But after striking out for the second or third time and trying to get, you know, San Diego city government to say that they're going to get behind this and they're going to build a new stadium, he was like, well, fine, then guess what? I'm gone. He left.
Yeah. Well, the point I wanted to make was San Antonio is the seventh largest city in the country. No NFL team. So that shows you right there how powerful Jerry Jones and the McNairs are, because they're the ones at the end of the day that are probably blocking San Antonio from having an NFL franchise. Cause there's no way. And I would say more Jerry Jones than than Cal McNair or the McNairs. Mm-hmm. Cause I think
Cal doesn't speak.
Right. But I think Janice McNair is the owner. So I'm just going to say the McNairs. Cal's the CEO, mm-hmm. but San Antonio is a Cowboys city. And sure so that's Jerry preventing the NFL from being in San Antonio. Cause I'd be willing to bet you, if you took a vote and didn't make it public, most NFL owners would say, yeah, we'd love to be in San Antonio. That's a big market with a lot of money potential.
So, yeah. And I think you're right. And obviously it is a Cowboys city because they've had training camp there in the past and they've used the Alamo Dome to do workouts and things. And you're right that Jerry always has concerns. I mean, I think he had concerns over the broadcasting rights and how they differentiate in the state of Texas, who can get into what different cities in the state, because he wants to capitalize on all he can. Rightfully, any business owner would, but it's hard to say that you're going to try and prevent Houston from either having a team or expanding into. Look, if you're
do you think it maybe has something to do with because it's not a big media market, but population wise, it's there if it can support it. I mean,
well, but here's the thing, Barry. I would throw this at you. I can see your point about the NFL, but why isn't baseball there yet? You know, and the fact that they have the Missions is one thing. I think they're now the minor league affiliate of the Dodgers. But even from a stadium standpoint, you have the Alamo Dome, which you could renovate. It's really not. It's a football venue, but it would have to be updated and everything like that. But you'd be starting from square one in terms of baseball, trying to build a major league baseball facility. And major league is looking, you know, the major league baseball is looking at cities like Portland, which is always traditionally down between 25 and 30 in terms of sizes of cities in the United States. They should be looking more at San Antonio from a population standpoint.
Yeah.
But from a standpoint of businesses and things like that, Portland's pretty good in terms of, you know, they support their sports teams massively. I don't know why San Antonio doesn't have NFL or MLB.
And I was trying to make the counterpoint that, well, maybe it's because and I'm looking at it right now, they're the 31st largest media market. So they're the seventh largest city, but media market wise,
that's a big
they're 31. Okay. And I would agree with you, but Kansas City is 32. Milwaukee is 35. Cincinnati is 37. Vegas is 39. So Jacksonville is 41. All these teams either have all these cities that I just read you. That those media markets either have NBA or NFL or both. Why are we excluding San Antonio from that?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Above all those cities I just
and
read
maybe
you.
People that have, you know, Aaron, you work there. I don't know why San Antonio then doesn't have more opportunities. Mm-hmm. I'll say from a Vegas standpoint, you can say whatever you want in terms of where they rank numbers, but financially, it's going to be a booming city because you have so many people that are visiting from out of state and on a week by week basis with a lot of disposable income. That are going to just latch on. Look what the Golden Knights did. You know, I had a buddy of mine that left the Rockets and ended up working for the Golden Knights. He goes, it was absolutely amazing how, you know, we didn't even see, one, Las Vegas was hungry for a team. So there are people that live there that just latched on immediately and said, I'm going to buy tickets, whether it be a small package or season tickets or sponsor the team. But then when you start factoring in all the high rollers and the people that are rolling into Vegas every week of the year, mm-hmm. it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
that
makes
story.
Sense. But yeah, I mean, media market wise, San Antonio's still ahead. I mean, Buffalo's in the 50s. It's crazy, dude.
It's crazy. Think about it.
I don't know, but I guarantee you it might be from a baseball perspective, the Astros and Rangers are like, nah, we're good. And from an NFL perspective, the Texans and Cowboys are like, nah. So I don't.
You bring up an interesting point, Barry, because it's also in how of these cities that we're talking about, and obviously we can see the discrepancy between the sizes, with San Antonio being population-wise larger than a lot of people, a lot of other cities on the list. But it's also about the proximity to other teams in the league, as you mentioned with Jerry Jones. There's a reason why, because really mirror images of each other, Portland and San Antonio. Both have NBA cities, which their fans are rabid about their team. But both cities, that's all they got. Yep. And so you have to start asking why. Well, from Portland's perspective, you know, they battled Seattle in the NBA, and that was a huge rivalry. But the Seahawks get a ton of people. Oregon's team is the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
So you're going to get pushback, even though Paul Allen owns the Blazers, and he passed away, but Paul Allen's company owns the Blazers and owns the Seahawks. But when you look at it, obviously now both NFL franchises are like, well, if you don't have an NFL team in San Antonio, whether we split it 50-50 or however it goes, we're still getting a ton of those fans.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a bigger factor. I don't know. But it's interesting why a city that large isn't doing a lot more in terms of getting on the list.
Sucks
of teams
for the people
get...
of San Antonio, man. They should be – San Antonio should be a city that has all three major sports. And I think before any other city – that doesn't have all three, they should be number one on that list. But
that's an interesting discussion, man. They really should. They should have more than they have. So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, if you're a man and you've been at home and you realize you're running out of energy, you don't work out like you used to, you know, you want to spend more time playing with your kids while you're home now, and you don't have the oomph to get out there and really have some fun with your children. You're not having enough fun in the bedroom like you once had. You need help. Well, Apollo Men's Health is here to help. Conveniently located right outside of downtown Pearland and Lake Jackson area, they have a great staff dedicated to taking care of you. They have traditional testosterone therapy as well as cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy, which reduces your weekly visits, especially during the pandemic. That's a good thing. But it maintains your overwellness and gives you that energy in a more convenient way. They also got great machines that can help you in terms of your body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy to increase your quality of life. Everything they do is centered around you. So invest in yourself and call 832-664-9966. Go to their website, apollomh.com. Book your first appointment. Most major insurance accepted and discounts for military personnel and first responders. Check them out, Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, ESPN 97.5, rolling through hour number two, three-hour show. Love all the participation today. A lot of you suspects hitting us up, Twitter, text, getting in on the take and the talk, which is good. I mean, look, you know, sometimes on a Friday when we're throwing stuff around, sometimes it hits a hot button and we get into a discussion. And literally, to me, it caught me by surprise to say that San Antonio is the seventh largest city. And I get it's different than media markets, but still – that's impressive. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, San Antonio has a stadium. No, they don't. They have a football stadium, yes, and it would need a little work. Baseball, they do not. Basketball, they do. But as I give you that mirror comparison, San Antonio and Portland are very much alike in terms of how they sit with their teams, the reputation of their basketball teams, their fans being into, you know, sports per se. But then you have to ask the question, then why? Why not have another two teams or at least one other team in the big three of leagues, NBA, MLB, NFL? So, you know, it's to me, I think they're ripe for it. Aaron and I were talking in the break. I'm very surprised at a lot of things that I find out about San Antonio. Like, I see Dallas as being a very uppity city. I think Dallas thinks they're more metropolitan and cool and hip and LA-ish than most of the rest of the country sees them. But yet, they have that River Oaks persona that they carry all the time.
I think people see Dallas as the most, I won't say hip, because I think Austin might be the hipster, hippie, hip city in this state. But I think people look at Dallas as the most metropolitan city in Texas, way more than Houston. People look at Houston as like a, they're just common folk. Like I don't think I don't think people look at Houston as a metropolitan city. I think that's Dallas, perception wise, at least. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying that I feel like that would be the perception. That's just my estimation of it, though. I mean, I could be completely wrong on that.
I mean, Aaron's a great sounding board. Aaron lived in San Antonio. You know, yeah. Houston. You know, Dallas. I mean, look.
Well, yeah, I don't think they look at San Antonio as one of the cities like, oh, that's an elite city, and you know, it's not a first round draft pick in city.
I think a lot of people were like me; they're naive about how many people and how highly populated San Antonio actually is. And I think you're right; their perception, Charles Barkley and those guys, don't help either when they bash in the playoffs.
No,
but overall, I think the perception from outside of Texas is San Antonio is a small kind of a. I would say, like, I don't know, you know, I was looking for the right way to say this so I don't act like Charles Barkley, but more of a, you know, kind of a rural, small town in the South. Country town.
I tell you the problem with San Antonio right now, just from they grew faster than they could, they grew population-wise faster than the city could grow. They're so far behind on construction, and I mean, you think traffic is bad here? It's a nightmare in some places in San Antonio just because they just had a population boom and a bunch of two-lane highways. And they were like, I mean, what do we do? Like, they're just – the growth has been so explosive that it's been a nightmare to you know, live through the boom. And that might contribute to some of their arrogance, is they're just like, well, we're just so growing so fast and everyone wants to be here. And, you know, we're going to get the respect we deserve. And yeah, that might have something to do with it. I never get that feeling when I'm there. Because Aaron mentioned that in my ear during the break, that they're very uppity and think they're better than they are. I never got that feeling.
When you're a visitor, you don't. And that's the thing, is if you stay there for like a week on vacation, everybody's really nice. It's just what you would imagine. Mm-hmm. But after about 3 or 4 months, and you ever tell them that you're from a different city in Texas, oh, well, you know, San Antonio's better. Why?
Really.
we're bigger. No, you're not. Yeah, I had one dude argue with me that, like, square mileage-wise, that Houston couldn't compete with San Antonio. And I was like, really? Yeah, wow. San Antonio's bigger. We have more people. No, you don't.
Well, see,
oh, yeah, that's...
I just, I've never seen that side of San Antonio, yeah, or heard that side either of their people. I just know from my own personal experiences when going to visit. I mean, my big thing was like, that's it? I mean, you know, you got the Alamo.
That's the Riverwalk?
Yeah, the Riverwalk.
That's the Alamo?
You go to the Alamo and go, you know what? From the sake of history and lore, I was excited to see a piece of history in the Alamo, and I walked in and went, really? That's it?
Have you been to Philly, right, Joel?
Oh, yeah.
What's more underwhelming of the three, the Riverwalk, the Alamo, or the Liberty Bell?
That's a good call, man. Philly is one of my least favorite cities that we ever traveled to.
One of my favorite cities that I've ever been to on vacation.
Really?
Loved Philly so much. Even
why?
Even after farting in the Mutter Museum when it echoed three stories up and
that's
everyone
awesome
looked at me. Oh, no, it was a complete accident. My wife was mortified.
I bet she was.
Dude, I thought I was going to sneak one out. I was just gonna be like, you know. Oh, my God. It was just an explosion. Boom! And, it was the most embarrassing thing. And hilarious.
Why did you like Philly so much? Because I can tell you the opposite.
Just a cool-ass city, man. The architecture, the people, the history. I mean, it's the birthplace of our country in a lot of ways, of our – you know, of our government. Like, it's just, I mean, the Liberty Bell was really underwhelming. You expect this massive bell, and it looks like, oh, I can put that in my pocket. Isn't that a cute little bell? But other than the disappointment of seeing the Liberty Bell and not realizing how small it was, I loved Philly.
Oh, bro. Here's the thing. And I love the historic part of it. And I was with you. And I, you know, in our years traveling there, I made sure and went to see all the history. But the thing was there was an overabundance of street people. Every street corner, they're begging you for money. And it wasn't clean. And, you know, I can remember at the hotel we stayed at, we heard gunfire. And the next day, our equipment manager said that he was sitting at a bar at midnight and saw a guy run by the window of the bar only to fall down and realize that people were just openly shooting guns at people in the street. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm not in for all that.
That surprises me. A guy that lived in Portland is upset about the homeless population in another city.
I'm saying it's a combo platter. Look, I also didn't see – when I lived in Portland, the homeless population wasn't evidently what it is now when you were there.
Yeah. Oh, it's real bad.
It's got to be the free bites.
I loved Portland too, but boy, I wouldn't want to walk around the streets of Portland all the time. Philly, I was good. In fact, we walked from – one end of Philly to the other to go get a cheesesteak. We walked through that, you know, that big market they have, and it's all kind of bummy and slummy and stuff. Yeah, we walked right through there, no problem. I wouldn't do that in Portland,
right now.
I'll tell you that much.
Well, I would in a heartbeat. Portland over Philly. My good. Philly and Detroit, two of the worst.
Oh, I've never been to Detroit.
Mind,
I have no desire to go to Detroit.
And you're absolutely spot on with that. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We're going through hour number two of the 3-hour show on an FEF Friday. You got one segment to go in hour number two and a full hour in hour number three. So join us if you will. HR&P listener line 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Back on The Suspects. We wrap up hour number two of the show. It's Barry, myself, and Aaron Raybould as we take you till 4 at a really good discussion going about San Antonio and why they don't have more sports teams. Would the Spurs move? Essentially, all of that kind of dialogue. Clarence, one of our loyalist of loyal suspects, has been waiting patiently on hold. He wants to get on the dialogue. Clarence, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
What up, buddy? How are you?
Good, good. Okay, so you remember back in after Katrina in 2005 when the Saints played there?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For three games? Yeah, I don't understand why they don't bring football there. They sold out pretty much every game that was there. It was only three games or so, but they sold them out. So I really don't understand why they don't have football there.
Well, that's my question,
yeah,
too. I think that's
a great point,
part of
Clarence.
What we were kicking around is it's not that they, you know, I don't know if they could support them financially or not, but you guys are saying that we've seen a passionate fan base that would go out and go to and attend the games. Then why don't they have more teams?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I really think it's because they've been blocked by the owners in Houston and Dallas.
You don't think it's reputation?
No, I don't. I mean, how good is Buffalo's reputation? Right?
A lot.
Like how
don't
good is?
Don't think Buffalo is a really big city, really close to New York because it's Buffalo, New York. I'm just that, and they've had
Salt
the Bills.
Salt Lake City
for a
has a great,
but again,
reputation.
Buffalo.
I mean,
but I'm saying Buffalo has there's an owner that had the money to say that whether I get the financial sponsorship backing or not, Larry Miller said, I want a team and I'm bringing it here and I'm moving it from New Orleans. So that's what I'm saying. You got to have an owner that's going to be committed and is going to move it where to San Antonio and keep it there. So you basically have to have someone with the roots to San Antonio or you know, born and raised in San Antonio and says, I want a football team or a baseball team in San Antonio, and this is what I'm going to do.
But can't you move without all the owner's consent? Because there's territorial restrictions that won't allow you to do that. And that's my point. You can't just – if Buffalo, for example, wanted to move to San Antonio, the McNairs and
but
Jerry
it's a
Jones
vote,
are blocking
Barry. It's a majority
that.
Vote. It's a majority vote. So I get you. I totally
well,
get
Well, the rest
McNair
of the league isn't
going to
go against
Jerry. Go, no. Oh, they could very well if they feel like – look, if there's a team that's just completely – treading water and losing money hand over fist and you've been waiting a certain amount of time and no ownership group has stepped up and all of a sudden an ownership group steps up and has a really solid financial backing and says, I want them, but I'm bringing them here. I think a lot of the other owners would go, well, we get to finally get rid of that big problem and hopefully we start making money, new city, at least short term. You know, there'll be a lot of luster and a lot of excitement and a lot of people will jump on board.
Don't overestimate that good old boy network and how they got each other's back.
Oh, no, I
and
get
all
that. But I'm just saying, if you get majority from the rest of the owners, there ain't nothing you can do about good old boy network. You know, they're going to Jerry's going to have to do a lot of lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
And for as much as you say there are guys that are going to jump on board to support him, there are going to be other teams that, whether you know, I think New York and Washington and Philly are for sure going to go, I don't care what Jerry Jones wants. All I'm caring about is what's best for me and what's best for the league.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, that might be the case. I just feel like they might be like, you know, I don't want to upset. I'm going to need Jerry's,
you
know.
The education you guys have provided me today, that would be my follow-up question is just if they are as big of a city as they are, and they have as many people, and we know they have passionate sports fans. Why the hell don't they have one or two more teams? The Missions are now a Brewers. See, there you go. Missions are a Brewers minor league team now.
But I just gave you my answer.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I gave you my answer. It's because they're being blocked. It's not that they won't support. Clarence just said they showed up and showed out. You don't think if there was an NFL team in San Antonio that they wouldn't sell out every Sunday? Of course they would. Absolutely.
But you gotta have, it's also that you have to have an owner that's willing to try and bring a team to San Antonio.
Yeah, but there is money. You've got HEB, you've got Valero, you've got like we said, it's the growth is 20% population-wise. That's a significant amount. That draws businesses. That means there's an economy. You know, the cost of living is cheap. There's no state income tax. Texas can be a very business-friendly state to set up shop in. So,
but those are businesses, but they're
sponsors.
Not going out.
Look
and
at HEB, bro. You don't think HEB wouldn't be a main spot? It would be the HEB stadium.
Sure, but HEB's not going to buy the team and bring it there. Like
no.
In Portland, you've got Russell Wilson and Sierra, and they're trying to get you know everybody from all over to pool their money together to be that ownership because that's what you have to have. You have to have an ownership to bring it to a city, whether it be San Antonio, Portland, anywhere else. And I don't know, there's just whether there's HEBs and big top Valeros, but they're not trying to buy a team and bring it to San Antonio.
Okay. I think it has more to do with the other teams in Houston and Dallas blocking it than anything. That's I think more so than business or anything else. The Spurs have been viable, so, and I get that you need an owner that's willing, but I bet you there would be plenty of owners that if you said, all right, if the NFL said, okay, we're taking applications for owners because we're expanding to San Antonio, the line would be out the door of people that would sign up to own that franchise.
And I bet makes it would a great start point. The only way the NFL would go to San Antonio if it was an AFC team in his mind because of the Cowboy following in San Antonio, but then you're going to have, at least they should, you'd have the McNairs blocking that. McNairs don't want another AFC team that close to them.
Hold on. Let me just stop. What do you mean? I've been making that point for a half hour.
I'm not giving you credit. I'm giving
out. Oh, my God. I've been making that point every time you bring it up. That's my point.
I gave you credit for that, but I'm just saying overall.
And it wouldn't be an AFC team. You don't think the McNairs are blocking that? There's no way. It would have to be an XFC team because the AFC and the NFC already have a team in Texas, and both of those owners are not having it.
Well, I mean, I agree with that. But, yeah, I just – man, I don't know. I'd like to know why. But, like I said, I got schooled on how big San Antonio was. I'm one of those people that had the perception that it wasn't a big enough city to bring other teams there. But I guess I was wrong there. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It wouldn't be the first time. I know. I'll beat you to it. All right. Lots of other things to get to. How are we looking on the social media front today? Text, tweets, anything?
We got some texts. So we talked a little bit about the SEC playing its own schedule and not playing anybody else. Somebody, and this is a great text, big shout out to Dale, Nick, and Aaron for holding it down for us listeners. Absolutely.
Big no doubt.
Shout out to those guys for going in there and keeping us on air and making it happen.
And working those long shifts. Yep, no doubt about it.
Yep. Do you guys think that the city opening up today, that the cases of coronavirus is going to get way worse? I do, yeah.
I do too. I certainly do.
Absolutely, I do. Philly is great. They even ran off Josh Ennis. Well, that's not nice.
Wow.
That's not okay. A very nice text.
And there's
that. At least
that.
One to you or me, Joel, right?
Amen to that. And with that, we're going to stay employed by just moving on to getting to the break and opening up the final hour of the show. It comes up next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.